I would like for you to please turn to Romans chapter 14. We're going to spend a little time in Romans tonight. I know we looked at this some time back. I don't remember how long it was, but I wanted to spend some time in these chapters in light of the one body. You know, we've spent the last few weeks looking at love. Loving one another, what love looks like. Prior to that, we considered some things from Romans 12, 1 Corinthians, regarding that one body, members in particular, Christ the head. You know, and then we've got some other things we're going to look at too. But here in Romans, it gets real practical. And it uses a couple of examples. And we're going to go through Romans 14 and 15, not in great detail, but I'm going to point some things out. But as we do, I want you to keep two things in mind. One is that we've already been exhorted, and really this section opens up with love without hypocrisy. And that's what we're looking at. We're kind of drilling down on what love without hypocrisy is, what genuine love is. Another thing I want to keep in mind, and I've brought this up before in looking at some of these things, is the big picture in reading some of these things. So often the things that affect saints in the one body, in the great scheme of things, they're very insignificant. This is not what it's all about. We're going to be gathered together with Jesus Christ. We're going to return with him to this earth. We will be in Christ for all of eternity, part of that body. And when you read these things, and you're going to see it because it's going to come up, hope. It comes up in 14, it comes up in 15. And we're specifically going to sort of zero in on edifying one another. There's a few more of these things that we're going to look at in the future. But so with that, let's start reading. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it says, him that is weak in the faith of the believing, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Doubtful disputations is a little awkward. ESV handles this as quarrels over opinions. I like that. These are things. They're not certain. They're not out of the mouth of God. See? And things that can be debated. We are never supposed to look at one another like that. The word receive means to be accepting. See? And you'll see this because this is going to go full circle. We're to accept one another. And the things that have divided believers over the years are nuts. And the reason why they're so significant, or they appear to be so significant and so crucial and so everything, is because the big picture's not, it's not in front of you. You're not thinking in terms of the hope. We're all in this together, and every one of us in this room is broken in some way. But we've got the life of God born within. And then there's a day coming when we're getting a new body, just like Jesus Christ, and we ain't going to be broken anymore. Right? So we're in this together. See? And, well, let me just keep going. We are accepting one another. Verse 2, now we're going to have a couple examples that are given. These are just examples. It can be many things. For one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eats herbs. Verse 3. Let him not that eateth And it should be all things. There's an ellipsis in this verse. It shows up again in 6, where you supply that all things. Let not him that eats all things despise him that eats not all things. Let not him which eateth not all things judge him that eats all things. For God hath what? Isn't that something? You know, neither the weak or the strong are to impose their opinions on another. Either one. See? The guy who's, you know, understands, and we're going to read it, there's nothing unclean of itself, great. But you don't force that on another. See? For reasons where they don't. And we'll see this. It's really, and this is just an example. It can be so many different things that come up. And you know what? You know what they have in common? Flesh. Really, bottom line. Anyway. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be held up. For, and King James has God here, it should read Lord. And I think it's the Peshitta text has his Lord. And it's using an illustration here. In this culture, you had servants. And those servants were answerable to their master. And to their master only. Who are you to judge another man's servant? He's not subject to you. He's subject to who? His Lord, his master, right? And that's the illustration that's being drawn here. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day, then what this means is you're distinguishing a day. You're separating out from others or above another. Okay? He that regards or distinguishes the day regards it unto the Lord. He that regards not the day, to the Lord he doesn't regard it. He that eats all things, that ellipsis is still here, he that eats all things to the Lord. He that gives God, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not all things, to the Lord he eats not all things. And what? Gives God thanks. See? It's really something. These are things, well, let's read the next two verses. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are whose? We are the Lord's. See? None of these things are to ever be elevated above Christ. In this body, Christ is all and in all. It says here that no man lives to himself. Once we are part of this body, you can't not be part of the body. You can't do it. It's done. It was accomplished in Christ. It says we're members one of another, and you belong to the Lord. You belong to Jesus Christ. You can't unbelong to Jesus Christ.
No, absolutely not.
Amen. And we're members one of another. We affect one another. Whether we realize it or not, whether we think we don't or not, we do. That's what the word says. Isn't that something? Verse 9, I love this. For to this end, Christ both died and, King James says, rose. It literally reads, Christ both died and lived. Isn't that beautiful? It's a kind of an intense way to say God got him up from the dead. See, he both died and lived. That's right. It's awesome. That he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. We're going to see this in a moment, but I just want to keep your finger here if you want to turn with me to John. I just want to read you one thing out of the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And we'll see here with this next verse coming up in Romans that he is Lord, not because you made him Lord, or because you accepted him as Lord, or I accepted him as Lord. He's Lord because God made him Lord. And he's Lord of the dead and of the living. God's given him authority over the whole shebang. Isn't that something? He is Lord. And when I confessed Jesus as Lord, what I did was I agreed with him. I agreed with God. Which is a good place to be. But I just want to read a couple of verses from John chapter 5. Yes, I did. Here it is. 27. let's start in verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall what? Shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Isn't that something? Or judgment. Jesus Christ has been given that authority, and it's Jesus Christ that is going to raise those from the dead when that time comes, when that day comes. It's really remarkable. He tasted death for every man, and he was made Lord. The next verse, let's go back to Romans. Romans 14. For to this end, Christ both died and lived and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you set at naught your brother? That set at naught is a word that means despise. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That word for judgment seat is bema. We're not going to take time with this right now, but there's a beautiful illustration of this bema or this judgment seat of Christ as it pertains to the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, it talks about no other foundation being laid than Jesus Christ. And then it uses an illustration of a building on top of that foundation, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. And then it talks about that building being hit with fire. These aren't literal, it's an illustration. But what happens is what's left, the precious stones, you know, the silver, those are things that the word says you'll be rewarded for. Isn't that something? This will take place in what's called the Day of Christ. And its end is in 1 Corinthians 4, when it says, we will be presented, we will all stand before God and receive praise from God. That's something. Ephesians talks about this. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn there. Keep your finger here if you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. This is such a great truth. This is familiar to you married couples, I think. Probably to everybody. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, for that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That, here's why, he might present it to himself a what? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without what? Blemish. That day will come. Jesus Christ is going to see to that. Isn't that something? And that these are all part of that time, or that's referred to as the day of Christ after our gathering together. Let's go back to Romans. Romans 14. So we just read in 10, that judgment seat, that bema of Christ, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. See, and that day's coming. That's because he made him Lord. This is actually it's a citation from Isaiah 45. And then, well, let's read that. Keep your finger here if you want to turn with me. Isaiah 25, or 45. This is so great. Yeah. This is one of those sections of scripture. It's hard to pick where you want to start. But we're going to start in verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from the time? Have not I, the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall say, so shall swear. Isn't that something? Everyone. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, this is so cool. Just an understanding that it was God that made him Lord. He is Lord, period. He is Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 8, being found in fashion as a man or mankind, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly, or it's really super exalted, and it's the only place in the word where it's used, hath super exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, is to bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of who?
God.
God the Father. Isn't that something? Every knee is going to bow. Everyone. Every tongue is going to confess. Just like we read in Isaiah 45. God said it. He spoke it in righteousness. And it ain't coming back. It's going to get done. See, pretty cool. Let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 14. Every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself, is how that verse should read. To God is not in the critical Greek texts. So we just read account of himself. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And there's a context to this. You know, the word talks and plays, and as a matter of fact, we're going to read it in a few minutes, about admonishing one another, which means to put the word in mind, to teach one another. All these things take place in that body of Christ. But what we're not to do is to judge on things like this. Those things that so often divide believers. You know, do I do 3 songs or do I do 2 songs? It's just goofy, some of the stuff that happens that people get caught up in. It's not what it's about. That stuff's not what it's about. Verse 14. Oh, I wanted to handle this just very briefly. This occasion to fall in his brother's way. And it's really to place an obstacle in another sense, in another saint's way. And it may be by your freedom. It may be by other things. But the point is that we're to be concerned for the other. When we really start to understand as a church, as a body of Christ, and really start to understand that hope, I tell you, the stuff with self, it starts to go away. It really does. You know, and then you can really start to see, and I pray for this. I want to get better at this, where I don't know any man after the flesh. You know, just to be to that place where, man, I see it. I see you. You were worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't, the flesh stuff doesn't even like interfere with that. That's where I want to be. I'm not there. You know, I'm better now than I was a year ago. Better a year ago than I was 2 years ago. But that's the truth. And you see why I brought up and opened this, you know, regarding the hope. Because that's where we're going to land. We're all going to live together with Jesus Christ. It's pretty cool. Anyway, so we don't judge one another. Verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean or common in and of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean or common, to him it's common. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou, you're not walking in love, charitably. You're not walking in love. See? Now it's using that meat as an example, that eating all things as an example. Boy, if your brother in his conscience, for whatever reason, is convinced of something regarding that, walk in love. You just walk in love. It's no longer about self. Talks about this in Philippians. Esteeming others better than what? Better than yourself. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Think like that. And it really, that's where true freedom lies. Which is kind of weird, but it's really true. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, and this is sort of the crux here, is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, referring to that gift of Spirit. You know, that gift of Holy Spirit is God's demonstration of his love for you. And you were given that when you were an enemy. He accepted you when you were an enemy and gave you Holy Spirit, his life. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's incredible. That's what it's about. And that righteousness, which is going to absolutely come to pass. I mean, we're righteous before him now, but that righteousness is going to come to pass. God's going to bring it to pass. And it's going to be righteous. For he that in these things serves Christ and is acceptable or well-pleasing to God and approved of men. Let us therefore pursue, this word follow is to pursue, after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. See? To build up, not to pick, not to pick at, not to keep score, but to edify, to build up. See? And you know what's really cool? We've got the Spirit of God, and God works in us to will and to do for His good pleasure. You know, I may not know what you need. You may not know what I need. But you know who does? God does.
It does.
See? And so what we do is we just stay small. We just endeavor to love. And God works in us. You know? And so often these things happen without you even realizing it. You say and do things. It just, it helps somebody. It built them up. It put something together for them. And you didn't even know you did it. Or somebody does it for you and they don't know they did it. See, that's Father at work. Isn't that awesome? That takes place in this one body when we walk in love. That's the way it's supposed to be. So we pursue it. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. Verse 21. It's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or made weak. Have thou believing? Hast thou believing? Have it to thyself. Or it should read, the believing that you have it to yourself before God. He that condemns himself regarding that conscience, in that thing which he approves, it's not good. It's not good. So we walk in love. We just walk in love with one another. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Now, there are examples here that don't really come up in our culture so much as perhaps here because of different things. But there are other things. There's other things that come up. You know, ways of doing things, habits, you know, that we have or ways of looking at things sometimes. You know, and then we make a judgment if someone doesn't see it the way I see it. Did you ever hear such a thing? Yeah. Let's just read a few more verses. Verse 15, chapter 15, 1 says, we then that are strong, meaning you're able, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, those who are unable is what that means, for whatever reason. You know, some of us just have areas where, you know, we're more challenged than others. And you may not in that area. Right? We're all members one of another. We're in this together. So we help one another with that. We carry, that's what that bear is. It's to help carry that. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification or with a view to edification. See, to building them up. For even Christ, or likewise Christ, pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them or the insults of them that insulted thee, referring to God, fell on me. Isn't that something? You know, Jesus Christ took that on. What happened to man was really, in and of itself, was insulting to what God had originally had in mind. But Jesus Christ paid for that. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the, should read, the patience and comfort or encouragement of the Scriptures, might have the hope. Isn't that something? Those things were written for our teaching, that we, through the patience of the Scriptures and the encouragement of the Scriptures, might have the hope. Right? You know, we see from Scripture where God said this would happen and what happened. It happened. Time after time after time after time after time. That's encouraging. See? That makes that hope, you know, living and real. So when I read about Abraham looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, I get it. He saw some great things come to pass. We read about all these things, you know. And then you and I, we confess Jesus as Lord, and we get Holy Spirit. God's word's faithful. See, isn't that something? And it builds that hope. See? All these things that God says is coming to pass, it's coming to pass. He spoke it in righteousness. It's not going to return. You know, when God speaks, that's like the end of it. But when he adds onto that, look it, I'm saying this in righteousness and it's not coming back. It's like a spiritual exclamation point. See, it's going to happen. Now the God of the patience and the consolation, referring to that patience and consolation of the scriptures, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to who? Christ Jesus. See, that's a standard. The standard is Christ Jesus. It's not old man. In Christ, in the body, in Christ, Christ being the standard, Christ is all and Christ is in all. Christ is all there is. That's it. That's it. And Christ is in all. That's it. Nothing else factors in. Jew, Gentile, short, tall, none of that. Nothing else factors in. Christ is all and in all. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received, and it should read you, to the glory of God. Isn't that something? That's what we do for one another. That's how we receive one another. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing thy name. And again he says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in the believing, that you may abound in the hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And here it's referring to God. Isn't that something? That you abound in these things. And God is faithful to do that. In 1 Corinthians it says, he is able to make us stand, to help us to stand. Isn't that cool? See, so this is what we do for one another. This is how we see one another. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of easy, typically, to hang with saints. But sometimes things come up, right? Because we're people. We're just people. We got this thing. And but see, we want to see each other in light of Christ and in light of the hope and remembering that we're all in this together. You know, and all of us have needs. We all do. We've all been through things, and we're all going through things, and it's different. But God's put this thing together in such an amazing way. And just to be aware of that and be aware of what you bring to the table that remembers one of another, and that it's really important to pursue edifying one another and taking care of one another. You know, sometimes that's just prayer. Sometimes you don't know what to say. So you pray. That's not too bad. Amen? So, okay, I probably went a little long.